Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Though seeing, they do not see, and though hearing, they do not hear or understand. Those words were spoken by Jesus. Some of you may have thought they were spoken by Professor Veltz about the Greek class. I have heard a couple of people say that were in that class, why does he speak to us in parables? But these were the words of Jesus, and they were spoken about some people that he was trying to preach to, who did not hear or understand the things that he was saying. And I think it's good that we take some time as future preachers, in fact, as anyone that's going to share the word, to remember and ponder about those words of Jesus. I left here about 7 months ago to go to a parish and start preaching, and I guess my thoughts about preaching were somewhat naive. I had the concept that maybe everybody I was going to talk to would be sitting there with very attentively listening to every word that I had to say. And I found, much to my chagrin, that there are still people in this world who do not hear and who do not understand. And that was kind of humbling. And they still, though seeing, they really do not see what it is we're trying to get across to them. And though hearing, they really do not hear. And I guess that's appropriate because, after all, no servant is greater than his master. And if they did not listen to Jesus 2,000 years ago, we should not expect that they're all going to hear what we have to say today. I guess this is really the greatest mystery, isn't it, of Christianity. Why is it, when we know as Christians and certainly as Lutherans, that the Word of God always does what it purposes to do? Why is it, when that word goes out, that some listen, some are moved by the Holy Spirit to accept and to turn and be reformed, and others are not? Certainly the greatest mystery to me, and it will remain that way. Because while Jesus articulates that mystery in today's text, when he says that, "That's the reason I speak in parables, to you it is given, to some it is not," he doesn't tell us why it is that some hear, but they really don't hear, and they're not turned, and they're not healed. But he does tell us something that is much more important to us as Christians, and certainly as future pastors. He says to his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." What we should be concentrating then on as Christians is, we are the blessed ones. We have received the message, we have heard it and understood it, and we've turned to God. I think we ask the wrong question when we say, why is it that some are not healed? Why is it that some, hearing the word, do not turn to God? That question has no answer. The question we should be asking is, why are any of us healed? Why do any of us turn? And of course, the answer to that is given in Scripture. He tells us very clearly that his Spirit moves us to do that. No merit on our part whatsoever. It's only because of God's gracious will that we are turned and healed. So the important thing for the Christian is to be thankful that you are one of the elect, that God has chosen you from before the world was born to spend eternity with him. That's what we need to concentrate on. But you say, as future pastors, I have to worry about those people who don't listen and who don't hear. That is true that you have to worry about them, but only to this extent, that first you do the best possible job you can to present God's word, and secondly, that you don't do anything to mess up that message. Well, you're here at this seminary, most of you, learning how to do that first thing, how to present God's word in a way that will be the best possible way for them to learn. I'd like to say just a word or two about that second thing of not messing up the message. I think the problem with preachers and with all people who are sharing the word of God is that we tend to give a double message. And what I mean by a double message is that we are saying one thing, but our actions are something different than that. And you know, it's a funny thing about human beings. They haven't changed since the time of Jesus. They're still the same, and they always will be. When they are presented with a double message, that is, when words say one thing and the actions of the person saying those words are different than that, they will not accept the words. They will accept the actions. It's always been true, and it always will be true. Actions speak louder than words, the old adage says. Well, that's very true. People will believe what we do, not what we say. It's only when the two things come in together. There is a good example of that, for instance, in the earlier chapter of Matthew than the one we read, where Jesus says to this man who wanted to be a disciple, he says, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Now, that was an effective message, talking about what kind of a preacher he was. But what would have happened if, after he gave that message, he checked into the Jericho Hilton, or maybe over to the Holiday Inn at Capernaum, in order to spend the night? You see, it wouldn't have been very effective if that had taken place. But he did, in fact, his actions matched his words. And he did, in fact, have nowhere to lay his head except the great outdoors. So our actions, too, have to conform to our words. It's no good preaching a pious sermon about how God will provide and how we should not worry or be concerned about material things, and then to spend most of your time working with your counsel trying to get a raise in pay or more material benefits for yourself. It just doesn't wash if you're going to say one thing from the pulpit but act differently in your personal life. If we do that, if we match up our actions with our words, then we've done what we can, and we can let the Spirit do the work. We don't have to worry about us messing up the message. Dr. Bowles on Monday said that the theme this week was, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." Well, I think one of the greatest fears that I had, and I'm sure that many of you share it, before I went out to preach, was that I wouldn't be effective, that I wouldn't do enough for God's people. But you know, that fear can really be put to rest if you remember that that is God's responsibility. You put the message across the best you can in your own personal kind of way and let the Spirit do the work. That's the Spirit's responsibility. So some of that fear can then be removed if we just don't let ourselves mess up the message. He has indeed called us, and we are His. May He make us able instruments to open eyes to see and ears to hear that wonderful message of His gospel. Amen.